This is JFM Podcast.
Welcome back to the show. If you're just tuning in, this is J101.9 FM and you're onto the show Let's Talk. Well, we just had a conversation with Mrs. Mudupe Aibusi, who is from Maize Holistic Health. And now we're moving back to what seems to be like...
What's going to cause the problem?
What the actual problem is. What the problem is.
The problem causer.
The main issue on ground, okay? That is what we're here to talk about. And as Nigerians continue to grapple with the judiciary judgment on election matters, its effect on internet democracy and populist participation is what we will be focusing on today. And we will be talking about the effects of the court in shaping democracy and populist participation. And we are asking you, do you think these judgments will help improve our democracy, or are they taking us backwards? And what's the importance of internal democracy in Nigeria's fledgling democracy? Is it improving or deteriorating? And comrade Steve Aluko is right here with us in the studio. Good morning to you.
Good morning and happy new beginning to every one of us.
That sounds really hopeful when you say happy new beginning.
Absolutely. Every minute, every second, every day, every week, month or year is an opportunity for us to get it better and to live for God.
Are we getting it better? From your point of view, seeing what has happened in the past few days, months, what seems to be like the most interesting electioneering year we've had so far, so good? Are we getting better?
Absolutely not. We're not getting it better for many reasons. Many reasons because those that fought for this democracy, this is not what we fought for. This is not what many Nigerian students were killed. Some lost the opportunity of furthering in life. This is not what we fought for, regrettably. And I think we must tender unreserved apologies to Nigerians that we fought for democracy, and when it matters most, we drop the bullets and allow people that are military apologies or people that are not patriotic to take the gold of leadership in this country. So if you put all together, what we've seen before the election, during the election, and after the election, I think we've taken 2 steps forward and 2,000 steps backward.
Interesting.
Regrettably.
So far, so good. The 2023 general election had to be one that was in focus in limelight. Not like other elections haven't been, but this is one of the elections that we saw that young people who had gotten their voter's card were enthusiastic about going out to go vote. A lot of people were optimistic that just maybe we're getting things better, or just maybe we're going to make the right decision now. Well, when looking at it, it seems like you go out to vote, that's on you, and then the rest decide what is going to take place. From your point of view, for somebody who belongs to a civil society organization, from your perspective, do you think that we have gotten it wrong? We have changed what democracy should be about. Do you think that we're now more fixated on whoever is there, who is the highest bidder now dictates what democracy should be? The people who are at the top now dictate to us what democracy should be about.
Regrettably, I've also argued at different point when people celebrate democracy, broken them. I said, no, we have broken this democracy right from the foundation, where we did not allow the most popular candidate pro people to win the election. The problem we are having today is a summation of what happened in 1999, where the military brought their own people to make sure that it's either you choose between Obasanjo or you choose the former secretary to the federal government, this man in Ondo State, I've forgotten his name. So it was placing before us a conscripted foundation, and we've not been able to improve or open the space more than expected. But let me say this, that the whole story about 2020 election cannot be totally said to be worse. In some places, we have the good, the bad, and the ugly. Unfortunately, at the larger scale, we have the ugly. The ugly in the sense that we have an election where campaigns were not issue-based. There was no debate, either presidential debate or gubernatorial debate in some instances. And then where we also have people voted into National Assembly, State Assembly, that never deserve to be in that house. And I think this is the build-up of what we've seen from 1999 till date. And regrettably, we must change the tide. Why is it that we must change the tide? Because, like you said, a crop of new voters got into the scene this very year, and regrettably, those in power tried to reverse it. Mm. And we must check it. If you look at it from the spiritual perspective, the contests have always been between light and darkness. And the good thing is that the light always overcomes that of the darkness. So no matter how dark it looks today, does not mean that there is not going to be a new dawn. And the new dawn is our youth. Our youth must pick up the challenge. What the old renegades want to prove to the youth is that they don't matter. But the youth must deliberately place themselves on the table, politically, economically, socially, morally, even religiously, to make sure that they count. The only thing that will make the future count for this democracy is for us to reverse what they think is irreversible. And I can tell you that whatever gain they have gotten negatively is reversible. We've seen it in other countries. We've seen it in other history. Even in Nigerian history, we've seen it. The post-colonial, the pre-colonial era. The history is there.
Yeah.
The youth take the lead. Mm. The women take the lead. And at the end of the day, they are able to reverse the evil. The evil subsists now. It is because we allow it, either in the system of democracy we have, be the judicial arm, the legislative and the executive arm. But that does not mean that it's not reversible. I'm the type that I'm very, very optimistic.
Mm.
In fact, in the darkest of the night, gives the hope of a better light. And that's why we must get it right. And that's why we must take the stand from the scriptural perspective. The youth that we've had, the David that we have, the Joseph that we have, the Esther that we have, the Mordecai that we have, we're facing a more dark situation than this.
Mm.
But they took the lead. So my message to the youth today and to people that believe in Nigeria, don't allow anything to reverse your thought or your perspective. Don't be hopeless.
All right.
In fact, in the midst of hopelessness, there's a greater hope. And the hope starts with you getting it right and doing it right.
Mm.
Even as the template is today, we must insist on the right thing being done, even within the limited democratic space. Otherwise, we might just be reversed. And let me say this.
Mm.
I've said it on other climb. And let anybody hold me, not the studio. If care is not taken, those in government today will bring back the military.
Why do you think that?
Because all the handwriting, I will quote IBB. IBB says that most of the time that they plan coup, they allow fraudulent election.
Yeah.
They allow people to be despaired.
Yeah.
And when people are living in frustration, they take advantage of it.
Mm.
If you go to what we've seen in Niger, what we've seen in Burkina Faso, what we've seen in Niger and Gabon,
yes.
It is when people believe that they have captured the state and the institution of democracy. And even within their own clan, there's what they call a Marxism. And we have intra-class struggle, and the end of the day.
Mm.
When the contradiction gets to the peak, either you like it or not, the contradiction itself will solve itself. Historical materialism is clear. The dialectic materialism is clear. And that is what those in government are doing. They are beginning to behave as if nothing matter, but they are not God.
Mm.
Beyond that, let them also know that the Bible says that even the evil, the wickedness of the wicked, will not deliver them the day of their judgment.
So
it's in their own interest to repent and allow the mandate of the people to count. Otherwise, they will be the one that they will hear, submit yourself to the nearest police station.
All right, before I hand you over to Emeka, just my final question. Based off of what you said, that means that for our country, Nigeria, we need electoral reforms. Would that solve our problem? Is it the function of, we are not having free and fair and credible elections, or is the function of the fact that our democracy's foundation is shaking at the moment?
Yes, we need electoral reform because of the ambiguous judgment we've gotten at the federal, state, and legislative level that some of the game we have in 2022 amended electoral has been reversed, where you say that INEC has the power to dictate when election we hold, how the election we hold. And that's what we saw in Kogi.
Yes.
Writing of a result as early as 7:30
before
when accreditation had
not even started.
So if you get to that point, what do we need? We need an electoral reform that will make sure that those gaps is not given to INEC. And then secondly, we must go beyond electoral reform. There's need for deliberate political education. There's need for deliberate political mobilization. There's need for deliberate political engagement, not on the eve of election. it must be a continuous process.
Mm.
So that people internalize the basis, the tenets of democracy in holding leaders accountable and making sure that their own vote count. And I think the last Kogi election, I'm proud to say that I'm from Oguri Magongo local government. We were so vigilant to know that something went wrong at the RAC center. So when they concocted as early as 7:30, we were able to open the eye of the whole world to know that this is what some members of INEC and the political gladiators in Kogi State were doing. If other local government were as vigilant as my local government, believe you me, we will not be crying than the believers we have it today. Mm-hmm. And regrettably, beyond electoral reform, the electorate themselves must become sensitive and responsive to the point that they don't celebrate the poverty of their mind. What happened in Kogi is a collaboration of executive recklessness, executive manipulation, INEC cutting the hand of the governor, and then the electorate themselves. Imagine people that have not been paid salary. Imagine people, local government workers and teachers that are paid percentage, collecting 5,000, 3,000 to vote against their conscience or to allow the votes that have been allocated to different people to stand. So beyond the leadership, the followers also have the responsibility to hold those in leadership accountable.
All right. My question has to do with the democratic process, where we are. The recent court judgments in Plateau State, we saw in Zamfara, we saw in different parts of the country, has left a lot to be desired. People have questioned whether or not this democracy is democratizing if the votes of the people do not count. But we also know that the courts are also part of the process. From the recent judgments and the reactions from the people, do you think that we are taking steps forward in becoming a better form of democracy? One. Two, some people have also accused that we might be slipping into a one-party state because of the judgments and the political powers in power. In a system like ours, is there a need for a better opposition, or does the opposition's work, let me use that word, not count when the people, quote unquote, in charge are fixated on getting power for themselves in any way possible?
Number one is for us to condemn recent judgment coming out of either Court of Appeal, Tribunal, and this thing. I know we started this from the pre-election era,
yes,
when the then Senate president was regrouped to become part of the senators we are having today. And we've also seen the many climb where people have contested different elections and coming to reclaim mandate that they never deserve, that they never had.
Yes.
That is when the subversion of this democratic and this phase of democracy started. We didn't cry enough then, so we are paying for it now. So people are now deepening and improving on the ills and the ill judgment that was given them to deepen whatever they are doing. Let me also correct this nation. People are bringing, media must be very careful because they are agenda setter, and then they say they're one party. Nigeria have never run any party system.
Mm.
When we claim we are running a multi-party system, it's a lie. If you are running a multi-party system, then there must be discipline, there must be party organizing, party discipline. The internal democracy will be there.
Yes.
And then you will be abide. But what do we have in Nigeria? Today morning you are PDP, in the evening you are APC, in the middle of the night you become Labour Party and this thing. As far as I'm concerned, we have been running zero party politics in Nigeria from 1999 till date. Because we've seen under Obasanjo, somebody from AMPP, All Nigerian People's Party, became the party chairman of PDP. And then you also move from that era today. What people have been looking for is platform to contest election and capture power, not to even win election.
So we don't have opposition?
As far as I'm concerned, we don't even have, when we talk about incumbent party, there is nothing like that. It is a charade of political party we've had. Parties that doesn't have ideology, that doesn't have program, that does not even have discipline, to the effect that people respect even the gentleman agreement or written agreement or their own constitution is a subversion. So if you are looking about the character of party politics in democracy, it's at abysmal level. And then you now come to the present day. Look at all the people that have emerged at different platforms in different offices. Which one of them can you really hold? Let's go to Labour Party. Recently, over how many million of GPs been given?
Yeah.
Does that reflect what Labour Party is supposed to be?
No. Mm-hmm.
We've seen them defend his official vehicle, even when palliative was given. So if you put all this together, we just have amorphous of people that just want to get into power. And whatever machinery they use to get into power,
it doesn't
matter. Mm. There's no principle, there's no ideology, there's no program. It's just to capture power at all costs. And once you capture power, you don't have program to run. And that's why we've celebrated how many days? Over 100 days. Some governors cannot point to what they have achieved. Even the president asked him in critical time, what have you achieved? In practical time, by their manifesto, there is nothing like that. So when we are talking about this, it's a zero party we've been running in this country. We cannot lay claim that we are even going one party. Mm. Because at the end of the day, even within the so-called APC that people are claiming want to be one party, do they really have the discipline to maintain a one-party state?
All right. My next question has to do, like you mentioned earlier, the youth's involvement and how we need to fight to get this better. However, some people would also say that because of how the system is designed, because of how the paymasters, or some will say the gatekeepers, have designed the system, it looks almost impossible for the youth to go out there. Someone gave a typical example of just conquered elections where people went out to vote, even in the places, for example, here in Plateau State, where people have thought that their vote counted. It seemed as though their vote did not count because the court of appeal recently, you know, obtained the election result. For young people, what can we do to ensure that we don't just sit on the fence and watch things happen, but be part of the process in changing things the way we want it to be? We were thought that the election would be a way to do it. Well, I'm sorry to say this election did not work for us. What other options do we have to be able to, I don't want to use the word collect power, but to first hold them accountable, and second, demand what we should demand from them, and if possible, be the ones to lead if there's a need for us to.
First, I'll take it from where you drop it. The youths in this country must take the lead. The history of this country is the history of the youth taking the lead and creative, credible alternative platform, credible alternative agenda. You cannot run the same game with these people and win by their own dictates. Mm. It's very, very, you know, Jesus said it when he healed people and they said he was using the power of Beelzebub. What did he say? He said, is your own children not doing it? So let's get it clear. The youth must present themselves as credible alternative.
They haven't so far?
They have not done that.
Hmm.
In fact, if they have done half of what they are doing on social media, Nigeria will progress than where we are. Even the voting population we have, even on the day of election, if they have come out en masse and become very vigilant to the point that nobody was able to move from the polling booth without doing the needful, we won't be where we are.
And we saw it in Plateau
in some state, community. Yeah. Yes. In some community where we did, even the Plateau State, what it was the percentage? We must tell ourselves the truth. If the Nigerian youth is sufficiently angry enough, they will vote en masse. They will stand by their vote and make sure it counts. Let me go to the history of Kano, not of recent of what we are saying in Bauchi here. People will vote and make sure they count the vote. And they will escort the ballot paper to make sure that it gets to INEC office and the writing is done. The problem we have in this 2023 election, we voted and went to sleep. And then they took advantage of it. And this is the more reason why in going into election, the youth, I'm emphasizing on the youth now because some of us are above 50. We can die anytime. Some of us have even conquered death. Because when you know where you are going, if your salvation is sure, you don't fear death. The youth must also capture and conquer death. It's not all this social media thing they are doing. They must get themselves organized. People are talking about the current president of Liberia, George Weah.
Mm.
He became a world best FIFA player.
Yeah.
But when war was going on in Liberia, he did not lose his sense. And from there, he was helping Liberia and he came, he contested, he lost. They manipulated him out of power. But today, he has won election, he has played his part. Even when he lost election, he has taught Nigerian politicians what to do. The Nigerian youth must do the needful. Either we like it or not, Nigeria is in war. War of idea, war of program, war of morality and immorality, righteousness versus unrighteousness. The youth must choose the path of righteousness and stand and pay the price. The problem of our youth, we don't want to pay the price.
What price exactly are we supposed to pay?
Part of the price is that you know why you are suffering. You don't. I'm using Kogi as example, and I've also linked up with other people from this off-season election.
Yes.
The youth were the one collecting money. The youth were the one rigging election. The boy we caught in Oguri Magongo local government was a youth that was carrying the whole result of the whole local government with 1 million naira. Where did he get the 1 million naira? Our youth must get the message clear. If they don't fight for their future now, they won't have any future. But I don't believe that you should be leader of the future. It should be now. They should take up the leadership. They should take up the space. They shouldn't wait for any labor leader. They shouldn't wait for their father, their mother. They should realize that it is their life. Who are the people jackpying, running out of? Is it not the youth?
Yeah.
If the youth in those countries didn't fix their country, would they have a place to run to? And increasingly, we've seen what happened. Look at that professor that had a problem in South Africa because of his marriage. That now he has become a citizenless citizen. He has lost his citizenship of Nigeria. He has lost that of South Africa. People must learn lessons. We must sit here and win this war.
Mm.
If we don't win this war, wherever you go, they will take you back.
Some would also argue that because of the mental impoverishment the youth have been dealt with, many people go to school, but many times, like they say, school don't pass through them. We've also seen quite stylishly and almost skillfully where political parties and political leaders use ethnic and religious sentiments to divide the youth. With the myriad of problems we have to deal with as Nigerian youth, is there any hope at all that we can rise above all of this and become the force for good, like you said, that we can? Or are we doomed to be here? Because every single time we talk about young people taking the reins of power, young people doing what is necessary, every single time those conversations come to the front burner, there's always something, sometimes I'll say trivial, that divides us. Either it's, you're not from the state, you have no right to talk about the state, or you're not from this religion, you have no right to talk about this person. Is there any way in heaven or in hell where the young people will rise above all of this and become the kind of people that will make Nigeria better?
Number one is to have the fear of God. When you have the fear of God, it will enable you, empower you to do every other thing. In fact, it's very, very important that our youth must realize that judgment and purpose and timing must go together. If you don't link up these three appropriately, you will lose it. In fact, the scripture is clear. In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 8 from verses 5 to 6, it talks about purpose being tied to time. It talks about purpose being tied to judgment. And that when you miss it, it will bring misery upon the people. The youth must realize that the poverty of idea they are having today is because they allow some people to run them aground. And it is your duty to say you want to rise up. And don't wait for anybody to rise you up. Look at what you are passing through. Sit down, count the cost, and take the risk. Life itself is about taking risk. You cannot sit in the comfort of your houses, in the comfort of your father's house, when you are supposed to be fending for other children, and think you have it. Other countries have done it. Mandela have done it. Even in Nigeria, the Gambo Sawabas of this world, the Amina of this world, the Aba Women Riot and the rest of it, they have the same challenge, but they overcame it. The overcoming it is to fight the reason for the poverty. No. The reason for the poverty is bad governance. It's lack of good leadership. So the youth must create themselves, organize themselves. And I'm happy. In this 2023 election, some youth won election in different places without spending money because the youth organize and mobilize around them. We must get to that point. And the message ENSAS tells Nigeria is that if the youth are properly organized, if they are systematic in their approach in responding to issues, they can take up the leadership.
No, right.
They shouldn't wait for anybody to come and get. And they must change the narrative of the type of the governor of Kogi State that is not representing the youth very well.
No, right.
So they must be able to hold their own youth accountable and they also create themselves and launch themselves as a better alternative for people to say. Let me tell you, Nigeria is looking for the best alternative now. If the youth can governize themselves in that platform,
yes,
be it for councillor, chair, local government chairman, at any level, believe you me, we'll have some of them as flagship. And at the end of the day, Nigeria will be better with them than leaving them in a more impoverished state of the mind.
All right. You can be a part of the conversation this morning. The numbers to call 081-218-77777 or 090-556-66699 and head on to all our social media platform. On Facebook is facebook.com/JFMJoss and on Twitter at JFMJoss. And we're asking you, do you think these judgments will help improve our democracy or are they taking us backwards? And what's the importance of internal democracy in Nigeria's fledgling democracy? Is it improving or deteriorating? Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Lady Abigail and Mr. Emeka and the great comrades, Steve Aluko.
Good morning, welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling us from?
Thank you so much. This is Pastor Henry J.J. Dere, known as Young T of Doncaster.
All right, go ahead.
Comrade Steve Aluko, I like you for one thing because you see issues the way it is. And if we must have a change in Nigeria, that is how every citizen of this country should see things the way it is. You know, judgment of the appeal court, honestly speaking, you know, it's something that is empowering our democracy. I said something yesterday, democracy has been the best kind of government to practice. But I'm afraid of the kind of democracy we practice in Nigeria. The democracy we practice in Nigeria, it does not give the citizenry their wills. It does not allow them to choose who they want to lead them. Plateau people made a choice. They made a choice of a governor. But it seems the judicial arm of government of Nigeria does not want the will of the people to prevail. And how do we enjoy our democracy? We are always emulating U.S. We are emulating democratic kind of government of U.S. But are we really practicing true democracy that is allowing the will of the people to prevail? I have an opportunity to meet most of the politicians. In fact, there is no politician that if I want to see now that I cannot see. But do you know the reason why I'm still managing my life? Because no politicians can manipulate me. In fact, one thing that I want the youth of Plateau and Nigeria to do. We shouldn't allow any politician to manipulate them.
No.
We should stand and do the right thing in order to have a better Plateau state, a better country that all will be happy to have.
Thank you so much for your contribution this morning. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning, Abigail.
Morning, welcome to the show. What's your name and where you're calling us from?
My name is Chukudi, calling from Amelia.
All right, Chukudi, go ahead.
Yes, quickly, I want to permit me to say good morning to Comrade Steve Aluko.
Good morning, sir.
And good morning to Emeka.
Good morning.
Comrade Steve actually mentioned that democracy have not been serving Nigerian as a nation, as a people. Obasanjo said yesterday, or 2 days ago, that the democracy in Nigeria is not actually the best system of government in Nigeria. And I want to believe it in 100%. Democracy has not worked for Nigerians. Honestly, if you ask me, Nigerians have been impoverished in the democratic government. Nigerians have not had it best raising under democracy. What kind of a democracy are we practicing where just people come to decide the decision of over 4 million people? Just 3 or 4 people come to decide and say this is what they think is the best for this 4 million people. But I still want to take you back. APC as a government, the PDP is actually not sent, if you ask me. But the PDP, the APC, I think this is the worst. Because I don't understand the situation where they want to turn Nigeria into a one-party state. And it's unfortunate. How can you explain that 3 governors elected by the people were sacked in 3 days? 3 state governors, 3 different state governors were sacked in just 3 days. Did you consider the election that was conducted in Imo just last weekend, and the president come to tell Nigerians that he's congratulating the governor, the incumbent governor of Imo State, because he won his election, you know, by fraud. Election was not conducted even in my village. I come from Imo State. Election was not conducted. People went about their businesses. So APC particularly, they are not afraid of anything. They don't even have conscience. They don't even consider what the people are going to say. I don't even want to tell you that they don't have regard for the constitution and rule of law. That has been just the constitution and rule of law. They don't even have. They are not mindful of it even in a single second. And so
Nigerians and the youth are not actually able to continue in this particular issue because Nigeria is ours.
All right.
It's ours to protect. So if this country really want us to, if the leaders want us to live in this country, and then this country like them, I think we should redefine this democracy.
All right.
And again, if it's not okay for us, I think we should look for another alternative means.
Thank you so much, Chukwudi. Thank you for your contribution. We'll head on to our social media platforms for your comments this morning.
On Facebook, Dimas Bala says, internal democracy is sacrosanct. What we are witnessing here on the plateau is all about personal interest against the interest of the plateau people. It is really painful as well as discouraging if people vote will be shortchanged by two or three people in the name of the judiciary. However, it is important to obey court order, but technicalities over popular votes is not democracy at all. Innocent Moses says, I think these people with their judgments are doing nothing but taking us in a democracy backwards. Albert Akaya Dagza goes, joining my voice with that of Comrade Aluko, Nigeria isn't practicing democracy, just the way we are not practicing party system. The true tenet of democracy is built on the foundation of the people and respect for the rule of law, but none of this is obtainable in Nigeria. I don't know what we are practicing, but this is not democracy. Kevin Lewis says, how can that ridiculous judgment improve on Nigeria's democracy when some unproductive lawmakers are making unguarded utterances that can cause chaos moving forward? It is very laughable that those judges rule that PDP do not have structure, so it is not about who has the highest votes now. Anyways, real elections are won at the polling units, not in that charade room called the court. Ma Akon says, I see nothing wrong with this judgment, and I want PDP leaders to tell their supporters the truth. The problem is PDP conducts a pretend congress, but out of 17 local governments, it is only 5 that participated, and that which was not right. There were some comments here which doesn't concern us. Samson, when Beatrice goes, politicians can be so selfish and unruly as we have seen lately. That is why the judiciary are there to check their excesses. Ezeleke Henry says, honestly, Steve has said it all, and Obasanjo made the same statement yesterday. It is indeed a pity we celebrate dictators as leaders in our failed states. Aminu Abdullah, he says, I always said that the law is the law because the judiciary are following up the constitution to pass their judgment. Call me Isaac goes, you people are doing good. I want to make it clear. People expressing their mind via social media and radio station, it remains constant unless action is taken. If not, there will be no change. John Blaze Olani says, in 2019, all Zamfara elected officials and members of the APC, from governors to state and National Assembly lawmakers, lost their posts because the APC failed to carry out legally valid primaries and democracy was not in danger. Okay, legally valid primaries here was not about primaries, so let's just correct that notion going forward. When APC as ruling party wins, our courts are corrupt, democracy is in danger, and we are heading to one-party system because the same court is addressing election cases dispassionately like it did in the above cases. In the governorship election in Bayelsa, a governor was removed by the judiciary 24 hours to swearing in. The judgment was sound. Our judiciary was not corrupt and democracy was not in danger. We should blame the PDP for the electoral setback, not the APC, the judiciary, INEC, and President Tinubu. Non-compliance with the electoral law and the constitution is also a route for nullification. Those blaming the judiciary and being emotional about the rulings, I believe we all want our country to be guided by the rule of law. Da Alhaji says democracy will flourish if political parties respect the internal democratic tenets within their respective parties. In a situation where politicians blatantly refuse to respect inclusion even within their small folds, that's a great threat to democracy on the outside. Courts or tribunals are part of the electoral process. This informs why tribunals are set even before elections. We must also speak up strongly against politicians who on one breath celebrate judgment in their favor and on the other berate the judiciary whenever judgment disfavors them. Regrettably, we keep seeing contradictory commentaries from those who should maintain consistency by standing on the side of the truth, justice, and rule of law. The media is a great culprit in this because we see them being used to propagate falsehood, misinformation. Okay? Alright, so he says that we are a bad example, expected to stand firm. Please, when next you make claims like this, please bring your facts to the table. Exactly. My Akon says, Abadjan is a selfish leader and is the cause of everything. Ambassador Joachim Joseph Dung says these are really tough times for Governor Caleb. The 2023 general elections in Plateau State will remain one of the toughest in recent history of the state. This is because the recent events of the Elections Petition Tribunal are revealing a lot on how future elections are going to look like. Yes, I didn't vote for Barrister Caleb, not because I don't like him as a person, but because I had already made up my choice. The elections came and BCM emerged the winner, although matters still in court. And since then, he has been doing what he felt is the best interest of the Plateau people, which I must give him kudos for. Meanwhile, I had criticized his administration in the area of truncating democratically elected chairmen, an outright reversal of employment made by his predecessor, and also the areas of reconciling Plateau people. Please, because I can confidently say that Plateau people have never been as divided as now, coupled with the religious, ethnic, and political divisions that the 2023 elections came with, which has brought so much character assassination and blackmail to some political, traditional, and religious leaders in the state. This and more has brought more distractions to the governor, and he is now trying very hard to manage the situation. For instance, the immediate dissolution of Chairman, I carried all of that because of our want of time. We'll head over now to Twitter to take your comments. Unfortunately, Ambassador Joachim, I can't take all of that. We don't have a lot of time. Kombembishtu says, Morning House, my worries now is that there will be serious voter apathy in the next general elections because of the way and manner elections have been won in the courtroom. So unfortunate. Lago goes, so far, 96% out of all the judgments so far all over the nation has not just been crippled Nigerians, but has also made us lose hope in what Nigeria's future is. We are now under a cloned military regime whereby the commanders are wearing agbada and shada. All right, finally, Daspan Fura Mazad says, it was said that if you have the head, nobody can win you over a case in the court.
Well, for one thing that I'm certain of is that Nigerians are following. Nigerians are aware. They're not being oblivious to what is happening in the country, and I hope that we get it right someday and sometime. But thank you so much, Comrade Steve Aluko, for coming on the show this morning. It was nice to have you here.
Well, it's good we also put it on record that the example of previous year does not matter here, because the Electoral Act as of then and as of then have covered some ground.
Yes.
I totally accept that no blood of anybody is worth anybody's mandate.
Exactly.
And it's very, very important that either we like it or not, Plateau will come stronger and better.
Yeah.
And Nigeria will get away. Let nobody be despair. Let nobody's heart
let your heart not be
the
despair.
Time to pick up the gullet is now.
All right. Thank you so much, Comrade Steve Aluko. Don't forget that the news comes up by 10 o'clock.
Thank you for listening to JFM Podcast.